Call the show with anything that's on your mind of local or national interest at 603-816-1590. Or you can check out our website, WSMNradio.com, or my website, Carl, K-A-R-L, from NH.com, for a schedule of my stand-up comedy appearances and other little delightful entertaining tidbits there. Big news in the state of New Hampshire. If you follow politics at all, then you know that just at the end of last week, Governor John Lynch announced that he will not be seeking his 43rd term as governor of New Hampshire. I don't know how many times Lynch has been in, but he's been elected and reelected and reelected. Has been a popular governor as a fairly moderate guy, middle-of-the-road guy. He's been immensely popular here in New Hampshire. I think he's done a pretty good job overall. Certainly has ruffled some feathers with budget cuts and stuff like that, as the state, like many other states, faces the very, very difficult budget decisions that lay before all the states as we run out of money to pay our bills. I think Governor Lynch will leave behind a pretty impressive legacy as governor, to tell you the truth. Moreover, for political wonks like myself, it opens up the, it's going to be very, very interesting campaign season now, with only 13 or 14 months left until the election. This really opens up the field. We have a governor who has won quite handily, even in 2010, when much of the country was voting in conservatives and Republicans. Lynch was able to handily win the state of New Hampshire again. And one of the first people out of the gate to announce that he'll be running for governor is Ovid LaMontagne, the Tea Party favorite who just barely lost the Senate run to Nashua's own Senator, now Senator Kelly Ayotte, formerly New Hampshire Attorney General Kelly Ayotte. So LaMontagne, a guy with a very, very strong political base, he's right front and center in the Tea Party notoriety that's sweeping the country, and he's right front and center as a Tea Party guy in New Hampshire. And it's 2 days out. He's officially announcing tomorrow, it is expected Monday, his run for the governor on the Republican side, obviously. And you know, who knows what unfolds between now and next summer with gubernatorial candidates in the state of New Hampshire. But I'll tell you right now, already, LaMontagne, he's going to be tough to beat, I think. He's got a very strong base, raised a lot of money running for Senate, very popular. And I think you'll see New Hampshire swing to the conservative side now in the state house, finally. I certainly hope so, that we can retain the wins that we made in the state Senate in 2010 and strengthen that now with a Republican and conservative governor. So it will be interesting to see what happens as this governor's race in New Hampshire unfolds without the very popular John Lynch running for the Democrats. Be interesting to see who the Democrats put forward. There's panic across the country on the liberal side of things as President Obama's poll ratings continue to plummet. His performance overall has been abysmal, and that's even, a view now shared by many Democrats, very disappointed in the president's ability to lead, to make, progressive changes, or what the progressives consider progressive. Moreover, his inability to get the economy under control and unemployment, I think that's what's going to sink him. Jobs, jobs, jobs. It's just dire out there. Real estate values continue to plummet. The country continues to suffer. Unemployment continues to be rampant. And I think it's going to be difficult even for President Obama to win in 2012. But I'm not ruling him out, because the guy is going to win a ton of money. He has union support. And unless the Democrats can put someone forward that with a believable and plausible plan to get us out of this economic mess, I think it's going to be very difficult, because that is first and foremost in people's minds. Aside from the wars, I think the economy is number one with people right now. Along that same vein is good news and bad news. Good news for New Hampshire, but I get to the bad news first for the overall country. Bloomberg News reported that household wealth dropped in the second quarter for the first time in a year, partly due to falling share prices and the still declining home values. Net worth for households and nonprofit groups decreased by $149 billion, a 1% drop annually, to $58.5 trillion. This is bad news for obvious reasons, and a lot of it has to do with real estate values. There's been a total loss of $947 billion in real estate assets just in the past year. So that's just shy of $1 trillion across the country loss in real estate value. That's huge in just a year. And keep in mind, that's following 2 or 3 or 4 years of also steep decline. So we're looking at assets in the country's real estate, people who own homes, people who own properties, people who own businesses, whatever real estate you might own collectively in the last, say, 2 or 3 or 4 years, we're talking now several trillion dollars of net worth, of asset loss. And that kind of stuff and that kind of news is not what doesn't bode well for the economy. And I think, you know, every other day some other statistic like this comes out and it just weakens it even further. You can just feel the bottom. I'm telling you, maybe it's me, but I just feel the bottom of this economy like a wet paper bag with rocks in it. You can just kind of feel it starting to let go. I mean, I hope I'm wrong, but there's more and more people talking about a double dip recession, which is insane to me, because calling what we've had the last 2 or 3 years a recession is probably being a little conservative. I mean, if it's a recession, it's a deep recession. When you look at the real estate values that I just cited and that kind of loss, coupled with the fact that there's no home construction, there's very little home sales, it's all bank-owned foreclosed properties, banks taking huge losses, that those numbers and those losses yet to be accounted for in the ledger, the national ledger, I think the economy is, to call it precarious would be understated. There's people a lot smarter than me who do this for a living, you know, national economies and so forth. And you look at what's happening in Europe with their money and their financial situation. I don't think it's hard to imagine the whole thing just folding in on itself. It's a lot easier for me to believe that something like that could happen. I certainly don't want to think that could happen. But it's a lot easier for me to believe, looking around and reading the newspaper, seeing what I see, easier to believe that it's going to fold in on itself and collapse than it is for me to think we're going to climb out of this somehow because of some new brilliant business technology. I mean, I don't know what it could be. You know, the last time around, we had the technological boom in Silicon Valley and California and you know, here in the Northeast, Massachusetts, what they used to call the tech circle down on 128 with all these high-tech companies, that drove our economy here for ages, folks. That technological boom and the internet and computer-related stuff and even defense spending, we have a lot of defense contractors up here in the Northeast, that drove our economy for so long, and it's simply gone. You know, are there places existing? Sure. But for the most part, that's gone. And what's on the horizon that's going to lead us out of this? I don't see the United States on the cutting edge of anything that could possibly lead us out of this. We'll talk about that in a minute because I want to talk about, as everyone's been talking about, this solar company in California that the government invested money in and has now gone bankrupt. So we'll get to that. I want to get to the good news part of my good news, bad news equation, as I mentioned before I went off on that rant. New Hampshire has been named the richest state in America. That's good news for us, with a median income of $66,000 and change and an extremely low unemployment rate of 5.2%, which is low compared to the upwards of 9% across the country. That's good news for New Hampshire, and that's based on the latest census data on poverty and income that was released this past week. The poverty rate nationally has jumped past 15%, which is not good news. But it is good news for New Hampshire that we, out of all the states, are considered the richest state in the nation, and one of the wealthiest and richest people that I happen to know and be friends with just wandered into the studio late, probably couldn't find a place to park his limo. Comedian and world raconteur Nick Ritigliano. Nick, what's happening?
Not much, Carl. I got the Bentley double parked outside.
Oh, was that your Bentley?
Yeah,
was just looking at that because I think you bumped. I'm not sure, but you looked like you tapped into the bumper on my old Zorora.
My driver very well could have.
Yeah, in fact, it was more than a bump. It's almost like he pushed it out of the way so that you'd have room for your Bentley.
Yeah, well, I mean, good places to be.
Okay.
Like here.
Yeah. Nicky Tiggs, ladies and gentlemen. His name for his role as a former role as a capo for the Gambino family in New York. What's going on with comedy, man?
Did the vault the other night. Just going into Boston a little bit. I'm in a big writing phase.
You say that every time I see you, and yet I never see you with a notebook and a pen. That's so odd.
Well, I write under the cloak of darkness.
Oh, the cloak of darkness. I didn't know the cloak was in town this weekend. Where's he staying?
It's
the Holiday Inn?
It's fall, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cloak season.
Yeah, I haven't seen the cloak of darkness for ages. I love it when they used to put him in the parade on a big float with that hat that he wears, the king of darkness.
Yes.
Yeah. See, I'm talking about cloak as if it's a person.
Yeah.
You get where I'm going with this?
I do.
Because you're not really picking up the other end of my bit.
No. Not at all.
Nick Ritigliano, ladies and gentlemen, who has no website.
No.
Another happy New Hampshire native, happy to be living here in the country's richest state. And
yeah.
I see, Nick, I'm sure you agree, as you look around, I see signs of that opulence and wealth nearly everywhere I look, don't you?
Oh, it's just oozing.
Mm-hmm.
Oozing. You can't take two steps without...
And you know, it's funny for people in the rest of the country who might be listening online. A lot of times this time of year in fall in New Hampshire, the leaves turn colors and they blow by. But, you know, they see them blowing by the window. But another thing we have here in New Hampshire as the richest state, cash mixed in with the leaves blowing by the window. I love that. Don't you love that about fall? I just saw 100 blow by next to an oak leaf, didn't you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the perks of living in the Northeast.
And one of the reasons that raking jobs are so hard to get here in New Hampshire.
Yeah, profitable, you name it. I mean, when I was 15, that's how I accumulated my wealth.
Yep, New Hampshire, the country's richest state, cash literally blowing in the wind up here, ladies and gentlemen. It's Carl Zahn with guest co-host Nick Ritigliano. So I want to talk about this. I promised you that I would talk. Did you know that I was actually late getting into the studio?
Yeah,
today?
I was listening.
Yeah,
Allie
had to
on
throw
my commute
in an interview.
To the studio.
I was across the street. You see how dedicated I am to the show, ladies and gentlemen. It's unbelievable. My dedication to the show is, I was waving to the studio as I was having breakfast across the street. Here's why the government, we're talking about the economy and how I don't see anything on the future that could really bail us out of this. You know, everybody, the government insists that it's green technologies and green jobs that are going to save us. Well, the company out in California called Solanid or something like that the government, and I saw a clip of Biden from 2009 just before they cut a check for $530 million to get the company started. And Biden talking about how this was the technology of the future and this was going to be fantastic. All right, well, these pinheads out in California who took over $500 million of taxpayer money to start their little business. And it's a luxurious pad, ladies and gentlemen. I saw it on the TV, a big, expansive plant with fancy offices and landscaping and a big entrance with their sign. And there's a little sun in their part of their logo. Well, they found out that you can't build solar panels that cost you $6 a piece to build and sell them for $3.
No, that doesn't
No,
seem
it didn't
right.
work. It didn't work out, Nick, because what happened is they filed bankruptcy, shuttered up the building, and now, of course, the taxpayers are out, you know, a cool $530 million. When is the government going to figure out, and I listen to Charles Krauthammer, who I love. If you listen to this show, you know, I revere this guy. He's brilliant. And he was pointing out that the big story isn't really the $530 million. I mean, it is. But he goes, the bigger story is, why does the government think they can create the future? I mean, Krauthammer pointed to Biden saying this is the future technology, this is the future of the American economy. And like Krauthammer said, how the hell do you know what the future is?
Doesn't it kind of just have to happen?
Exactly, Nick. Thank you. See, here's common sense, and exactly, you must be as smart as Krauthammer, because that's exactly what he said.
I guess so.
Yeah, you don't even know who I'm talking about.
No, I don't.
Nick and Charles Krauthammer are both right. It just has to happen. If there's a value there, if there's a business there, if there's a demand, then the private sector will find it. A business will start in the private sector, and it's not government's job to create the future for us. And as you can plainly see, when the government does create the future for us, that's what we get. A $500 million tab picked up by the taxpayers, and a bunch of people all over the country who got solar panels at half what it costs to make them. It's great, folks. It's great. Crosswinds with Carl Zahn. More right around the corner.
Hi, this is Brian Shanley of Pride Star EMS. This summer, Pride Star celebrates its five-year anniversary. We've come a long way since we started in 2006, but the principles that founded Pride Star remain even stronger today. Exceptional clinical care, unmatched customer service, and a commitment to the communities we serve. On behalf of everyone at Pride Star, I want to thank all of our partners and friends. It has been an honor to be there for you, whether it be for chair van transportation, an ambulance trip, your clinical education needs, or a group trip in our new fun bus. As we move ahead, we look forward to growing the relationships we have made and are excited about the new ones we will encounter. So when the choice is yours, choose Pride Star EMS. People, passion, performance. To reach us in Nashua, dial 603-218-0911 or online at www.pridestaremS.com.
Stop by Educational and Custom Logo Outfitters at 14A Broad Street in Nashua. They are your one-stop shop for school uniforms and team apparel. Educational and Custom Logo Outfitters offers an easy and fun retail shopping experience, including on-site embroidery, school rebate programs, and numerous name brands. Your commute will be more convenient with ample parking. And did you know that they specialize in business promotional products and are an exclusive distributor in Nashua for Boys and Girl Scouts? That's right. Whether it's uniforms, apparel, or promotional products including computer and desk accessories, decals, key tags, or magnets, they've got it at Educational and Custom Logo Outfitters. So stop by 14A Broad Street in Nashua. For more information, give Michael or Kirsten a call at 880-3800. That's 880-3800. You could also log on to eo-ne.com. That's eo-ne.com. Educational and Custom Logo Outfitters.
Check the latest weather, cross town or cross country, anytime. Click on the weather box at WSMNradio.com.
You know, the show is called Crosswinds, but it mainly blows from the right. That's with Carl Zahn at 1590 SMN.
Dick Morris, ladies and gentlemen, calling us back in here on Crosswinds, speaking of blows from the right. Thanks, Nick. That's all I was looking for was a fake laugh after that line. Welcome back to Crosswinds, ladies and gentlemen. 1590 WSMN, Nashua's News and Talk, 603-816-1590. If you want to jump in with Nikki Tiggs and I, Senator Kerry and Senator McCain, just in New Hampshire to accept some award for something over in Manchester Friday night. I had comedy Friday night, and I didn't know that McCain was in town, because otherwise I would love to have gone over there and given him a hug. I haven't seen him since being on the campaign trail with him in 2008. So I had no idea McCain was in state, and I was bummed that I missed him. Glad we didn't wind up with him as president, huh, folks? I mean, he came close, but boy, we kept him out.
We sure did.
Good thing, too, because I don't know where we'd be, you know, if McCain had been president with an IQ of 137 and, you know, 60 years of leadership experience from all the way from being a POW for 5.5 years in Vietnam to, 30 years as a United States senator. Thank God we didn't end up with that old codger in there. Yeah, we got this young guy, this young progressive thinker who comes up with great ideas like giving a solar company $500 million in seed money so that they can fold 7 years later. $500 million, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, is not seed money. That's an entire forest. That's a rainforest already grown to maturity. That's not seed money. Bad crash out at the Reno air race. This always bums me out because I had to listen for the last 2 days, people dissing on air shows and how bad and evil air shows are and all that. Well, for one thing, Reno's not an air show. It's an air race. And it's kind of a different animal. It's they set up these huge pylons and these, you know, planes race around in basically a huge oval. Generally at air shows, they're not doing airplane stuff right over the crowd, with the exception of if it's the Thunderbirds or the Blue Angels, you know. But generally they're not doing stuff over the crowd. But this was tragic, no doubt about it. A whole bunch of people killed, a whole bunch of people injured. P-51 Mustang drove right down into the crowd at this Reno air show and air race. And not good. Left a crater in the tarmac 3 feet deep and 8 feet across. This guy just barreled in almost completely vertical. A shame. The plane hit about 65 feet in front of the leading edge of the grandstand where thousands were watching Friday. Of course, that's a drag for kids and stuff like that out of there. Pretty dramatic scene. The plane was flown by a 74-year-old veteran racer and Hollywood stunt pilot. There you go. And I heard people talking about on the radio, you know, a 74-year-old pilot. Look, I know guys at the airport who are 80 that are sharp as a tack, 80 or better, you know, that have flown for the airlines. They've flown their whole lives. They're better, you know, they're better pilots asleep than a lot of younger guys, including myself, will ever even aspire to be. So I wouldn't worry about this guy's age. Look, it's one of the things. Air shows are dangerous. Airplanes can be dangerous. These guys are working airplanes to their max. And who knows, something obviously went wrong where this guy couldn't get it back under control. I'm sure they'll figure it out eventually. But that's a drag when people get hurt at an air show, man.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's sad.
I don't like it because I like air shows, and it turns people off to air shows. So I don't know why, even at the Reno air race, why they can't keep the airplanes kind of away from the crowd and at least not going over the crowd. I know it's more difficult to do at the race because they're doing a big oval, and I suppose if you keep the crowd 500 feet away from that, then you can't really see anything. So, you know, I get why they keep it in tight, but, man, when something like this happens, you got to know. You know, as someone who likes the aviation industry and all that, wants to see it do well and wants to see more people learn to fly and fall in love with aviation. Every time something like this happens, it's like a big black spot on our record. It's like when guys in little airplanes run out of gas or fly into hurricanes. It always kind of ticks me off because it just adds to the myth that small planes are dangerous and nobody should go near one and isn't it awful and I don't want to live near an airport and blah, 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 blah.
Blah.
Thanks, Nick. Nick Rotigliano with the last blah on the end of that, ladies and gentlemen. Nick, oh, yeah. There's a story out of Colorado that we should be following. Is that what it is?
Oh, yeah.
What the hell happened out there?
The Colorado men accused of taking their dead friend for a ride.
What?
Yes. I would love, if I died, I would love it if my friends would take me out like that.
Well, you know what? I'm glad you told me that.
Yeah.
I'm glad you told me that.
Kind of going out with a bang, you know?
I glanced at that article myself, so it's a bit of a Weekend at Bernie's type thing, right? They had this guy strapped into the back seat of a Lincoln Navigator, I think it was.
Yeah, his own Lincoln Navigator. Yeah.
Oh, well, interesting. You spent more time on the news piece than I did. You've done more show prep than me.
I'm prep. I'm just getting better and better with the minute.
You are. You know what? I think you should just take over the show.
Yeah.
So they had this guy in his own Lincoln Navigator. My understanding is they were spending money with his ATM card. They went to one place and spent at least an hour and a half inside getting loaded while he was strapped dead into the backseat of his own car. Am I warm?
Yeah, you're warm. Yeah, they hit up a restaurant. They had a few pops. They drank for about an hour and a half, and they withdrew $400 from his ATM at a strip club.
Well, he's dead, Nick. I mean, he's not going to need the money. He's dead.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting, you know, right at the head of this conversation that you pointed out, I would hope that someone would do it. And, you know, you got me thinking, like, in a way, I mean, we're taking it as kind of an assault, and I know they were charged with abusing a corpse. But in a way, as and I guess these three guys were friends, in a way, it's kind of a nice thing to do, right?
Yeah. You know, it's celebratory.
Saying, it's saying that you're dead, but we still like hanging with you.
I totally agree.
Which I think is very generous.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. You're gone, but you're not gone to us. You're still in the back seat.
An homage, if you will.
Yeah. You'll always be in the back seat to me, I think.
Of your own
says.
Navigator.
Mm-hmm. Or at least until we get busted.
And we got your cash.
Yeah. You'll I'll always have your back, even when I'm dead and just strapped into the seat. Right?
That's true.
Unbelievable, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, it's a great country. It's a great country because kind of anything goes, and I just like the fact that these guys weren't willing to write off the friendship just yet.
Not yet. Nope. We're going to bleed this one out.
It's not over just because you are.
Nope.
I think it's the bumper sticker there.
It's never over.
Unbelievable. I love that story, and I just wish I could meet those guys. Now, those are the kind of guys that I want to see on Oprah, Good Morning America. Right?
Yeah.
Let's give the politicians a rest and get some truly interesting people on, like these two friends.
I mean, this is stuff I enjoy hearing about.
Yeah.
It's stuff like this.
It's funny because I was out with my little daughter yesterday, and we were at the drugstore, and she saw one of those fake bloody arms that you're supposed to hang out of the trunk lid for Halloween. And so she insisted that we buy it so we could play a trick on Mommy. And then I read this story this morning, and I go, you know, this is so much better because it's a real body.
Yeah.
And I just wish they could have kept it a little more under wraps because Halloween's right around the corner. I mean.
Yeah, maybe put it on the shelf for a few weeks and then break this story.
Mm.
That'd be better.
Bodies stink, though, after a while, though, don't they, Nick?
Yeah, rigor mortis.
Yeah, it gets stiff.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to have it. If you have it in the sitting position.
Yeah.
You know, once rigor mortis sets in, it's pretty much, I mean, you're not going to be able to put it in other poses.
Maybe like Axe body spray or something, like, you know, some kind of fragrant spray.
Well, now you're really, you know, I think we're mining an empty hole here at this point. I think we've taken this about as far as we can go, can't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Other
stuff around the state. Wanted to give Governor Lynch credit also. We were talking about Lynch earlier, I think before Nikki Tiggs get in, that Governor Lynch is not seeking re-election for his 153rd term as governor of New Hampshire. He did a good job, though, up north because we got heavy-duty flood damage up there, and they were all concerned about these roads being washed out. The Kankamangus Kank, as we like to call it here in New Hampshire, suffered extensive damage. And, you know, what was that? Did you just, like, suck in a big... Did you just do one of those?
I had a... Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
It's no problem. Allie does that a lot, too. I mean, we hawk Louie's, break wind, whatever you want. You know what? This show is real.
Okay? Yeah.
Yeah. We're just real people here.
As real as it gets.
You know, we have bodily functions just like everybody else does. Okay, so before Nick snorted, I was just saying how the Kank up in New Hampshire had suffered such extensive damage during the flood, and they were all worried that we couldn't get it back together because, of course, its foliage season is upon us. It's probably even kind of well underway up north, I guess. So, yeah, they were all concerned that all these roads would be washed out and it would affect the tourist industry because it's the last thing we have going for us here in the richest state in the country. And so they did. They got the Kank all fixed up. There was a big bridge over the Sawyer River in Lincoln that was gone. And they got a temporary bridge in there. So it kind of amazed me. Like, it's a good... So here's to give credit where credit is due because I always like to pick on the government. So here's a deal where they came through and they got the job done.
Perfect.
Right.
That's kind of what they should be
doing.
Can
we all just...
Yeah.
It deserves a little round of applause because, truthfully, all kidding aside, it would really have been a drag to go into foliage season with all kinds of roads and major roads washed out up in New Hampshire, because that really, I mean, those people, you know, up in north, I mean, up north, they count on it. It's their year. It's their whole livelihood. So I really felt bad when I saw all the damage up there. And Vermont, sections of Vermont got hit so hard that I've heard people say now, I know a couple of people that live up near where it was really heavy up there. They're saying, they're talking some areas going to be 10 years before they get all the damage repaired. Like, they just got wailed on in places.
Crazy.
Isn't it crazy?
Crazy.
18 inches of rain or some crazy thing?
Yeah.
What's going on with the weather, Nick?
It's crazy.
It's crazy.
It's crazy.
Right?
In Vermont.
Everywhere.
And parts of
it's crazy everywhere. You know, I've never heard of such things. We talk about this a lot, and this is one of the places where I part company with, you know, the Republicans and the talking point. If you sign up and you're stamped and you have the little dot in your forehead, you know, the one of the conservative Republican talking points is that global warming is all fake. It's not man-made. It's bad science. There's nothing happening. Keep moving. Nothing to see here. Just go back in your home. No, I don't buy it. I've been in New Hampshire. I've been in Milford my whole life. I never remember tornadoes. I remember a rainfall that was going to be over an inch was breaking news, because it was just unusual to predict that a rainstorm was going to be measured in inches. And we get these rainstorms now routinely that are 2, 3, 4, 5, 12 inches of rain. That's not normal. Now, is it man-made? Did we do something to it? I don't know. I don't know. I can believe it, because for the last 100 years we've been, you know, burning fossil fuels like a meth addict here.
Yeah.
And that didn't happen before. So when I hear people say, well, you know, they had big rainstorms back in 500 BC and it's just all a big cycle. All right. But you know what? In 500 BC, they weren't running buses and trucks and trains and airplanes and burning a gazillion gallons of oil and coal every day and spewing that into our ultra thin atmosphere. So I definitely think there's something up with the climate, and I tend to think that man had a hand in it at the very least. Who cares whose fault it is? I'm just wondering what's going on and how long before we start getting rainfall, you know, predictions in feet, and we'll be wishing that, you know, we'll be saying, boy, I remember when they used to measure, predict snowstorms in feet, and now it's 12 to 18 inches of rain expected Thursday, Nick.
Yeah.
With drifting.
With drifting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And snowfall, of course, will be measured in increments of 10-foot increments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Meters?
We'll have to think of a name for it, you know, but it'll be kind of be like 1.5 increments of snow, and you'll know that means 15 feet.
That's a lot of snow.
That would be something you could be working on as a new measurement word for snowfalls. That would be, what would be a good word for a 10-foot increment of snowfall? I don't know. We could call it a cock of snow.
A cock of snow.
Yeah. Which would mean 10 feet.
10 feet of snow.
I seem to have unsettled you somehow, Nick. That's
No, that word,
it's
that
a
fits.
Word.
That fits.
It's a word.
That's right? A good description.
I just said cock think of a snow. Word. I didn't say it had
my
to make
gosh.
Sense. What else we got going on? We have a really cocky winter is what I'm predicting.
Yeah.
We're going to get cocks and cocks of snow is what I'm predicting here at WSMN. I don't know why I'm predicting that, but we're talking about the national politics, and I think we better get back to that quickly. Governor Perry, everyone keeps talking to me because people think I'm a big political wonk or something. And I guess I am a little bit, but I keep hearing Trent's telling me, oh, Governor Perry, he's doing great. He's going through the roof. He's not going to be able to hold it, folks. He's not going to be able to hold it. He's got the momentum at the wrong time, in my opinion. He's got the big numbers at the wrong time. And I just don't see him being able to hold on to that for another 13 months. He needs the number and the fanfare and the notoriety that he has now, a year from now. Then I'd be thinking, okay, he's going to be the nominee. But right now, see him as no factor. It's early. Everything can change, right?
That's right.
All right. We could have cocks and cocks of snow this winter, and people won't be able to campaign up here.
Two cocks of snow.
That would
At least.
That would be Well, I think that we'd have to declare an emergency here in the richest
FEMA would be in here.
Here in the richest state in the country. Thanks for being with us.